According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than 1 million children are affected by divorce every year. Many more currently live with separated parents. Does that mean single parenting, confusion, or conflict become a reality for these children? Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Anne Warshauer from Fairfax County Public Schools. Today we'll be discussing the power of co-parenting, a great choice for unmarried or divorced parents that puts kids first while managing the realities and the challenges of changing family dynamics. Thank you for joining us, Anne.
Well, you're welcome. Good to be here.
So, what do we mean by co-parenting? How do you define it?
Co-parenting is basically a model where parents work together and put their child first rather than it being about them. There is a child focus, and they are able to jointly make important decisions, such as decisions about health and education, religion. They are able to go to their children's activities without there being a lot of drama. They handle problems in a constructive way. They communicate with each other with respect, whether they feel it or not.
Very good. And are we only talking about divorced parents, or is there a broader audience for co-parenting?
You know, you can have co-parenting in intact families where there's never been a separation or divorce. Co-parenting really is about both parents working together for the sake of the child. I know that in my own situation with my daughter and son-in-law, they have three sons, and I have seen my son-in-law change as many diapers and do the grocery shopping and really both of them trade off, and they are equal in the amount of time and how they devote their activities as far as parenting. So I think that is co-parenting, and that is certainly a healthy model for kids whose parents are under the same roof, and even healthier for kids whose parents are living in two separate homes.
And what are some of the challenges of co-parenting? What do families sort of come in struggling with?
Yeah, well, certainly early on in the process after there's been a separation or divorce, or even in never married parents, early on in the relationship, there can be a lot of strong emotion, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of anger, especially when parents are grieving the end of a relationship. And this can be a challenge to co-parenting, and it is critically important to put children first, to love your child more than you might dislike your co-parent. But additionally, there are challenges of long distance. You know, co-parenting really implies that there's going to be ongoing, frequent communication and problem solving. Well, if you've got a co-parent that's out of the state or out of the country, that's challenging. If there's incarceration, substance abuse, mental health issues, that's additionally challenging. But especially if there's extremely high conflict or even domestic violence, because co-parenting is really in that situation is not the recommended model.
And we'll come back to that in a minute. But I think when sort of the violence isn't there, even then, I think oftentimes when parents have separated, there's a sense of betrayal, a sense of that's the person you no longer trust. Mm-hmm. And yet someone who's really very important in your child's life. And so struggling with how to understand that that's an important person in your child's life, even though it's someone that you don't have very positive feelings about, must be a real challenge for folks.
It is challenging. And in the co-parenting classes that we teach at Fairfax County Public Schools, that is addressed head on, because the children do best when a positive relationship with their other parent is encouraged by both parents. And it's not the responsibility of parents to create the relationship with the other parent, but it is their job not to interfere with it and to support a child going to see mom or being with dad. That just makes it so much easier for the child. And that's one of the hallmarks of co-parenting, is a focus on what's in the best interest of the child.
So you mentioned you all lead some workshops for parents on this co-parenting strategy. Mm-hmm. So how do you help families get started? What are some of the basic steps and tenets of co-parenting?
Well, I think knowing what the opposite has, the effect that not cooperating, letting folks know the effects of separation or divorce on children and how you can mitigate the negative effects if you work together. And so letting parents know that there will be an adjustment, there will be grieving, there will be sadness, but the more parents work together, treat each other with respect, communicate and model the relationship that they want to convey to their kids, that is the first step, and then have a plan, develop a co-parenting plan.
If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and with me today is Ann Warshauer from Fairfax County Public Schools, and we're talking about co-parenting. So you mentioned a minute ago that co-parenting wasn't an ideal model for families where there's been domestic violence. Talk a little bit more about the difference there.
Right. Again, when parents are involved in domestic violence, it is very much more difficult for them to work together and to work together and communicate respectfully. And a lot of times there might be protective orders barring certain contact or communication. So in that situation, parallel parenting is the model that's recommended. In parallel parenting, it's like two single parents bringing up a child. Communication is less frequent and more formal. Sometimes communication actually has to be between, or has to have a professional involved, like a parenting coordinator or a therapist or an attorney. Communication sometimes can be web-based, like our family wizard is a form of communication where you don't have to see each other, you don't have to talk to each other, but you can communicate. It lets you form a journal and schedules and spreadsheets and all kinds of things like that. So communication has to be different and contact is different, but parents still need to communicate important things and they have to figure out a way to do that. So when they need to communicate health issues, education, things that are going on in the life of their child, parallel parenting can develop a different plan and a different way to communicate that and still keep kids out of the middle of the conflict.
And that keeping kids out of the middle really is the goal in putting the children first, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've heard in some of the families that we work with that due to the high cost of living in this region, many parents are sort of separating in a relationship sense from each other, but still living in the same house, maybe a different bedroom, maybe a different floor. But that can create even more tension and the opportunity for sort of open conflict within the house that children are obviously aware of and grappling with. What tips do you have for families whose economic situation forces them to choose that option for a while?
Unfortunately, since our Great Recession, that is becoming more common. There are two things that I want to make the distinction. If parents are separating emotionally, but they have no intention of ending the marriage, that's one thing. And maybe that is when seeing a therapist or really trying to work on their relationship skills could be the answer. If they are separating with the intent to remain apart, pursuant to ending their marriage, I think it's really important for parents to be upfront with their kids. We don't have to talk about the reason why or cause. I think that that's an inappropriate conversation with children. But I think it is important for parents to let kids know that we're always going to be your parents, but we're in separate rooms, we're on separate floors because we're going to be ending our marriage, but never ending our relationship as parents to you. Because when kids don't know what's going on, that really increases their anxiety. And then, as all of us, when we're in a situation where we don't know what's going on, but we know it's affecting us, we start making things up in our mind, and very often that's even worse. So it's important for parents to have an age-appropriate conversation with children to let them know that they're still loved, that the parents are going to be there, but that they're working to be towards ending their marriage.
Sometimes I think we hear that parents will say, well, I want to co-parent, but the other parent doesn't want to co-parent, mm-hmm. or they might be incarcerated or away for long periods of time. So how do you work with those parents in trying to help them create a positive environment mm-hmm. for their children?
If parents are not cooperative with one another, and especially if there are situations like incarceration, then the parallel parenting is the way to go. You're going to have to really rely just on parenting on your own. Sometimes parents at the beginning, when there's strong emotion, there's a lot of past history, parents can start out in a parallel parenting situation, and then as those emotions subside, they can evolve into a more cooperative co-parenting model, leaving the door open. But at, as you said earlier, in both models, we have to be very mindful of how our parenting affects our kids.
And in the long run, sort of being able to make that work so that eventually when there are special events in the child's life and graduations and marriages and all those things, if both parents can be there, that's one of the greatest gifts we can give to our kids.
Absolutely. And we go into examples like that in the co-parenting class. I know I had a co-parent who said, we cannot even be close to one another, but we both want to go to our son's soccer game and we're not willing to alternate, so we resolved it on our own. We decided one of us was going to be on one side of the field and the other was going to be on the other side. And so we were able in the class to explore whether or not how the impact of that was on the little soccer player. You know, one of my parents is on the opposing team's side, and where do I run at the end of the game? And so actually others in the class were able to help this one parent come up with, well, why don't you both be on the same side, but one is going to be at one goal and the other is going to be at the other. And that's the value of these classes, because there is as much interaction between the participants in the class as there is between the participants and the instructor.
That's a great example. We have just a minute left. Is there a final thought you wanted to leave with folks who are listening today?
Yes, I wanted to recommend a resource. And this is the Co-Parenting Toolkit. And it really is a toolkit because it provides some ways to develop plans for co-parenting. It is written by Isolina Ricci, and she's the author of Mom's House, Dad's House, and Mom's House, Dad's House for Kids. And so the Co-Parenting Toolkit, in addition to going to a co-parenting class, can really help parents get off on the right foot.
Give them some tangible tools. Very helpful. Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome.
Parenting is a difficult job, even in the best of circumstances. So when two unmarried adults are co-parenting, the challenges might seem to multiply on a daily basis. By making the commitment to raise your children together, even while living apart, you show your child that they are the priority in your lives, and you are willing to do what it takes to support them and keep them safe. There are many co-parenting classes and support groups and toolkits in our region. Reach out for support to make the best decisions for your child. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quinones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Ann Warshauer from Fairfax County Public Schools for joining me to talk about this important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about co-parenting as well as other parenting topics, visit the SCAN website at scantha.org.